Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 314 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers, and with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Buddy.
Yes.
Here we are, 314 episodes into this glorious, glorious shiny machine that we call the Bad Motivators. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're in that weird thing where Star Wars Celebration is just a little bit away. And, you know, that's when all the good Star Wars news is going to come out.
Of course.
So right now it's just me, but fortunately we are into tons of other stuff too. And in case you didn't know,
yeah,
this isn't just a Star Wars podcast. We talk about all kinds of dorky stuff. So listen, if you're a dork, you came to the right place.
There it is.
So
hey,
yeah.
I wanted to ask you, how are you feeling this week? I know are you feeling a little more rested after the marathon you went through week before?
It's funny you should ask.
Yeah.
The answer, well,
you see, kids, the lesson is
no. what happened was I had that was Bandit from dinner, from Bluey, by the way. So I had a gig on Sunday or Saturday. It was a Mardi Gras gig.
Yeah.
Right. And it was like at the parade. St. Louis has the second largest Mardi Gras celebration in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's an interesting fact.
So we're playing this show right on the parade route.
Okay.
And we naturally, like, I have to be the tech go-to guy for that. So I have to make all the tracks and all this stuff. By the way, we're adding this other song. And doing all these things. And oh, by the way, we got to have this rehearsal on Thursday. Oh, hey, I sent you the wrong stems for this new song. So here, I'm going to send them to you again. And I need you to mix them and do all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. So on Saturday, we're playing here's what the information we get. At some point between 1 and 5 p.m., you will play. You will play 2 30 minutes.
Was this Comcast?
Basically, yes. You'll play 2 30-minute sets, yeah, and then you'll be done. So, but here's the clincher. You have to be here at like 7:30 in the morning.
Fuck.
Because they'll close all the roads. So make sure you're down here. So they gave us directions on how to skirt past all the things. They were incorrect. Oh, it has had us driving down by the flood wall. Down by the river, and it tells you to make this turn, and the train tracks, there's literally no like easement up to the train track rail. It's like 10 inches of rail. And I'm like, I can't drive my car over that. So anyway, we get there. It's freezing cold. It's supposed to be like 50 degrees. It's 29.
Nice.
The wind is just blowing nonstop. It's a long walk with the gear, like 3 blocks at least. Yeah. And so anyhow, we got
and
there.
If people don't know anything about the Midwest, when it's cold and the wind blows, it's exceptionally fucking cold. We have a lot of moisture in our atmosphere.
So I sat out there freezing my butt off, man. And the funny thing is the gig ended up being really fun.
Yeah.
It really did. We played great. The crowd was super into it. Young people were surprisingly receptive because it's always weird. You follow a DJ who's like playing, you know, club music and everybody's out there shaking what they got. And then we start and we're like this rock/country band. And, but man, people were into it. And I had some young guy come up to me and tell me, he's like, I just really enjoyed watching you play. You plainly love doing it. And I was like, ha ha,
nice
acting. but no, it was good. But so then I was pretty beat up. I was tired from that. And, but then the next day, you know, I had to get up early for work, and not that I was home exceptionally late, but you know how it is. But then we had an event last night that I had to go back for in tech at the church. And so by the end, man, I'm like, I took today off. I just told him, hey, listen, I'm not putting in for a day off. I'm not, wink, wink, working from home. I am not working.
I am FYI. Not working today. The day is not the day.
But I am doing a little better today. But boy, it was a rough week.
Yeah.
But poor me, boo-hoo-hoo.
Oh, man, it's fucking life, you know? Like, we all have to experience things that exhaust the shit out of us, and sometimes you get back, look, man, daddy needs a break.
Yeah. But, man, when that sweet, sweet chunk of money comes in, and I see how it's not very much, I'll have to ask myself,
so, did we learn anything today?
I'll say, yes, we did.
Yeah, and that is, you suffer from, oh, didn't do it, damn it, fail me, you failed me, fucking mix, there it is.
What did he say?
It's emotional so far damage.
Oh. Yeah, I set those up because they're my favorite.
Yeah, no, I have to thank the whole process I had with Hawes on realizing he wasn't the oh, I like that guy, because now I have it as one of my things too. So it's always ready to go. So I
that's
appreciate
a good
that,
one.
Yeah.
You know what I think about that one?
So classic indeed.
All right, that'll do.
I love his. I love Henry's little innocent voice, man. Yeah. That's great.
So classic indeed. All right. So, hey, what about you, man? How's things? Well, did you have any gigs this weekend?
Tons. I'm out the wazoo with musical gigs, people wanting my sweet, sweet sounds and serenades. I unexpectedly, like, I didn't realize it until last Friday when my son's like, hey, we're off on Monday. I'm like, no, you don't, you little liar. Why are you just lying to me? And it turns out there was, I'm like, for what reason are you off on Monday? And it's
you really think that's going to work on me?
I'm a smart man. But no, it was some teacher training day. And so, surprise, your kids are not going to school on Monday. Go, okay. Which is not a big deal, but like still, like I was expecting it. So we end up taking their kids to Urban Air. And if you've never been there, it's a, I know you know what it is, but like you've never heard of it. It's a trampoline place slash like just all around like playground, make a playground for kids, like, you know, all kinds of, it's a good place to be way too close to a bunch of people for a few hours. And,
that's one way of looking at it. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, the kids had fun, and well, I was pretty proud of my boy, and Leia, obviously. But like, because the last time we went there, they had this zip line that you can go down that goes around this track, and like you have to climb up to it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And last time he got away up there and like got really scared and like had to be brought back down. And you know, it's a big scene whenever that happens because everybody's waiting to go up, and like you have to walk back the way you came to get off without, you know, going down the zip line.
Right, right.
So he was embarrassed and he was distraught. And this time he's like, I'm going to do it this time. I'm like, are you sure? You're like, you don't feel pressure. Like, nobody's going to judge you if you don't want to do it. It's fine. He's like,
except all the people that watch you walk past.
He's like, no, I'm gonna do it this time. I'm going to do it. Well, luckily it's not in our same town. So nobody knew except for his friend that was there. And, he went up there and he did it, and he didn't hesitate. He just went off and did it. And then my daughter proceeded to do it the first time, like without without like any kind of nervousness.
Oh yeah, that's how it always goes, man.
And then she's like, again and again. She did it like two or three more times. Like, but those places, man, it's like, it's what I imagine in our imagination, what the Discovery Zone and shit was like when, you know, I don't know if that was from your era too, but you remember those, the mm-hmm. Discovery Zones?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have them when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we were still busy playing with rusty barbed wire and lawn darts.
Yeah, you were one of those kids in those old pictures of the gigantic like metal structures. Up in the
Yep, we're up there with our lunch boxes.
Building skyscrapers.
Me and Garth in London are out there playing playing with the hoop. Look at me!
That's one of my favorite Conan O'Brien jokes. Is when he talks about how old he is, about how back in my day, we spun the loop. But, yeah, it was fun. It was fun, and it wasn't, because kids are kids, and that's what happens. And they eventually make you hate every choice you made along the way. And yeah, Sometimes kids are really good at showing you that they have no idea what gratitude means. It's pretty great. But hopefully that comes with age, right? Well, for some people, not all people. But it was fun. That's what we did. I did get a lot of, I want to say, like, I've got a lot more, even more work done with my office than nobody cares. But like, it's like I've been doing all kinds of tiny little shit to like, try to make it better, more functional. And a lot of that involves, you know, like harassing Eric for suggestions and like, because, you know, he loves, as he was talking just now, he loves being the guy that people come to with all their tech questions and suggestions. I hate to ruin my who got what, so I can't go too much further, you know, but.
Well, you know what? Here in a second, we're going to do that. Before we jump into that, I just want to say.
Yeah.
Check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators if you want to learn all kinds of stuff. One of the Cruiser said about Ask Me for Advice, I just dropped an episode on Patreon today of Strawler's Famous Secrets called The Transactional, The Transactional yes. Nature of Relationships. That's what
there
it was
called. Is.
So there yeah. you go. Think about that. There is something pretty sweet about being in a gig and having literally everybody come up to you and be like, where do I plug in? I don't know. I play guitar here. I can't get my in-ears to work. Okay.
I'm not your mom.
Maybe figure it out. I had that happen on Sunday. I wasn't at the campus. I'm at the other campus. I get a phone call. Boom, kick it to voicemail. Phone call. Boom, kick it to voicemail. Text. You have to call me ASAP right now.
Yeah.
I'm in a production meeting. I can't. Hold on. Boop, boop, boop. I call. What's up? This is not, the power won't come on. Okay. Well, I'm 45 miles away. You're not going to like what I have to say, but here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to need you to just figure this out.
You're a big boy. Figure it out.
I'll talk to you later. Click.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what though? Let's just go ahead and plow straight in to this, right, Sean? Oh, yeah. Cruiser, why don't you tell us? Why don't you be the who that tells us the what?
Well, I hit up Eric the other day because I was excessively distraught because my son's Xbox Series S HDMI port had just like shredded and just disappeared in front of my eyes with a connection. And he was like, yeah, well, that really does suck. And I'd fix it for you, but you know, the whole, I'm like, yeah, I wasn't asking you to fix it. I was just like, basically just like mourning the fact that it was working. but it involves like resoldering a whole bunch of shit. That's like, you know, not just like typical, like Eric was telling me, it's not like standard, just, you know, burn something back on there. You have to like apply a lot of heat to the motherboard to get the fucking thing off and put another thing on. And yeah.
Yeah, you have to have what's called a rework station, and you use a reflow solder kit where you're using literally like a hairdryer that will light wood on fire in a matter of seconds. And you got to heat this thing up just enough that it flashes all the solder at one time and pull the thing off. It's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah. So I end up paying $150 for somebody else to do it. So there we go with that. So... But I was worried about that too. What I did was I bought some HDMI couplers, so the cord always lived on the Xbox, and that way I can move it around without having to actually unplug the cord out of it, just unplug it. And I was like, coupler, you say? What is this devilry? And so that probably solve my problem without fail. Because here's what it is, because you're on the video, there's these little tiny, just little connection pieces that just connect in between two cords, and you can move it around. And if one of those fails, no big deal. But at least it won't be tearing up the actual port to the Xbox anymore, right, or to my computer. So, I mean, I even bought ones for my DisplayPort monitors too, Eric. I bought couplers for those too.
Good on you, man. So listen, I could just
do all at once.
Here's my advice to people. So like, here's why I came up with this solution, because we all, everybody that is listening to this podcast is on some level a tech nerd, right? Yeah. We all have gear and gadgets and whatnot.
Yeah.
The point of connection is the thing that's going to wear out on anything. So what I've done is I have, for example, I have my Xbox located over here in office stage right. Like it's stage right in my office. But over here, my big ass TV and my Xbox is right under it. And it's all on this stand. Well, I ran the HDMI cable from the Xbox up and it's behind the TV and it's got a coupler on it. And then there's an HDMI cable from the TV input to there. But there's also an HDMI cable that runs over to my streaming rig and I switch them back and forth. Well, it's all done at the coupler level. That way, at some point, let's say my HDMI cable were to fail. It probably won't. It'll probably be the coupler. Well, that'll be the one time I have to unplug the HDMI cable from the device. Yeah. All the other times it was on this $8 coupler that is no bigs, man. So yeah, if you ever have the chance to do that for a piece of gear that you move around a lot, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Or if you allow your young children to be the ones who are moving said console from place to place, then yes, you should in fact definitely do that.
Yeah, because just you know as well as I do how they say there's the three states of direction for a USB connector, right?
Sure.
There's the first way you try, then there's the second way you try, and then there's the first way you tried, but somehow it works this time. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing for HDMI cables. Because, dude, I have some machines where I am like changing out USB drives on the regular.
Yeah.
But I just put an extension on it so that the thing that will break is the end of that extension cord and I'll throw it away and put another $4 extension cord on this USB port on this TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do they make those kind of things for... like the power connection that goes into the back of the Xbox? I'm just curious to like where I guess that would just be an extension cord, wouldn't it?
I guess kind of think of what it looks like. I would leave it plugged into the Xbox 100% of the time.
Yeah, and just
take it with me. Yeah,
yeah.
They make them though. I mean, you could, you know, that's a lot more resilient. It's two pins in there.
Yeah, but I mean, now I'm super fucking paranoid because like the thing that like if this was like some like $1,000 or $2,000 thing, paying $150 to fix it, not that big of a deal. I mean, it's still a lot of money, but like it feels justified, you know. The Xbox Series S costs $300, so hope and spending $150 and hoping that is the solution to the problem, and you know, because if something else goes wrong with it, I'm not spending another $150 to fix what's wrong with it. It's either that one's done, son, and we're going to get another one day, or, you know, like I'm not making it a $600 Xbox Series S. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's tough, man. I'm glad you're able to get it fixed. So, but yeah, the problem with Cruiser and me is just the geographic distance. By the time you like either ship it back and forth or meet halfway, it's like, oh my God, I could have paid somebody to fix this. And if they break it, then they'll pay for it kind of thing.
Not to mention like just the dedication of time you'd have to put into it to make it work just to help me out. You know what I mean? And I value your time more than $150. You know what I mean? So like,
I would do it for you though, man.
I know you would. That's because we're friends. You know, like we're like more than friends these days. You know what I mean? Like it's just how it goes. Like
whatever helps you sleep at night.
Yeah, we love you so much. You better say it back.
All right. Listen, would you get anything else besides I got a nice nap from listening to this freaking story?
I didn't get anything else, but I did finally get rid of like all of the boxes I was hanging on to from all the shit I had that I'd opened. And I tell you what, dude, I'm not gonna go long-winded on it, but I took it to the recycling center and I put it all in the cardboard, you know, areas. It looked like Hasbro and Funko straight up just puked everywhere in there, man. Like that's all I could see. And those things with the Star Wars and those red and black series boxes and like all kinds of shit. And like I put it on Twitter, but and then, you know, something we talked about before, like the miniature vehicles and things like that, how back when it first started, Black Series had their version and Hot Wheels had their versions of the different vehicles and, you know, whatnot. And I went the Black Series route and you went the Hot Wheels route with the bigger ones. They're actually better quality, it turns out, in the end. But when I opened up that box that had all of those little boxes in there, they're all numbered and how I opened it up and I remembered the panic I felt and the need to like get every single one of those. And now I could give a shit about any of them, right? They're just like, I had them displayed on my shelf like a year or 2 years ago, and I took them off, put other stuff on there, and they've been sitting in a box ever since, you know? But I still kept the damn red boxes. It was extremely therapeutic to like rip those apart so I could separate the plastic parts from the cardboard parts and like just get rid of it. But man, I got to say, if you're holding on to boxes that are not going to increase the value of the thing you're going to try to sell, please don't do it. Get rid of them. I got rid of those. I got rid of all of my Funko, that subscription service. Remember that? The Smuggler's Bounty. There's still two back here, but those are all holding all of the extra little shit that you got in those Smuggler Bounty things, like aside from the pops. But I got rid of like 10 of those boxes too. It was crazy, man. Just the amount of shit I was just hanging on to for no reason. It was nuts.
Yeah, it's easy to do that, man. One thing for me, like from a gear perspective, because this is pretty common practice, is you end up saving the boxes your gear came in.
Oh, yeah,
because
for sure.
If you ever have to ship it somewhere, the thing that will hold it the best is the box that it came in. So like at work, I have giant boxes that digital mixers were in and stuff like that. And then at home, I have all my rack mount gear for like my guitar stuff. But I'm looking at all of it and I'm thinking, well, by this point, I've had this rig for insert this many years here. I'm never going to sell it. And if I do, having the original box is not going to impress anybody.
No, but you are right, though. If you needed to ship it for any reason, if it was to sell or whatever, for those kind of things, it makes it. Or if you were to move, the best way to move it is to put it back in its box. Mm-hmm. It's just easier.
Yeah.
But those gear boxes, and you know, I have like every computer I've ever bought in the last 15 years, I have all the boxes for them and for every game console I own and every mic I've purchased, every monitor I purchased. I got rid of the monitor boxes that day too. That was nice. But
I have three TV boxes in the other room over there, two 65-inch TVs and then a really old 42-inch TV, the one that I fixed, that whole saga. Yeah. I have all of them. And it's been great because when I move, boom, TV goes back in the box. Of course, I'm never moving again.
Never.
Ever.
I'm going to die in this house.
Yeah, literally. Literally, this is the house I'm going to die in. Not today, but this is the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's.
I mean, at least you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Surrounded by the things I love, plus all this Star Wars stuff.
What about you? Would you get anything? Did you get anything
well,
good?
What I did get, this isn't necessarily just an Eric thing, but this was like a work thing.
Okay.
So I got a ton of video gear, right, to install at one of my buildings. Well, I got the rest of it in and installed on Wednesday last week. Mm-hmm. And man, this is some cool stuff. If you're not hip to all this, like video gear and distribution amps and all this stuff, dude, there is some cool stuff. And I got these little recorders. So a standard rack space, even if you don't know what I'm talking about, I guarantee everybody that is alive has seen a rack mount unit. It's a standardized 19-inch wide rack that equipment goes in.
Yeah.
All the equipment has these little ears on it. You can see them in any technical shot you've ever seen. Like right now, there's a commercial for, it's on Hulu. It's some series about composers, and it's the guy who did I don't remember what the name of the show is, but then like Only Murders in the Building and all these things, right? Every engineer they talk to is, or the composer is sitting next to a rack of gear. It's that size. Well, anyway, it's this recorder that records the SD cards, and you have to get the super expensive SD cards, the UHD 2 something somethings, and you know, that can write 1800 megabits per second. And because they're recording huge data files.
Notice you said megabits, people. Megabits.
Yeah, yeah, megabits. There's a difference. Boy, the people.
By a factor of eight.
The people at the old internet company get mad. Yeah, it's 250 megabytes. Really?
Oh, my God.
Are you sure you don't mean megabits? Nope, megabytes. Is the bee big or small?
You're telling me I'm getting 2 gigabytes per second on this mother?
I just asked, is the bee big or is the bee little? I don't know. It's a bee. Oh, my God. That reminds me. Hang on. I'll come back to that.
All right.
But anyway, it's really cool, man. And I didn't know. I'm not like a video guy as far as like how cameras work and the theory behind lighting and all that stuff. But man, yeah. I think gear is neat. And like the ability of this thing to accept all these, any given input and resolution and record it in real time at basically uncompressed quality. It's just, it's wild to me. I got a rack of them. I got to mount and hook all up, dude. That stuff is really, really cool. So yeah, I got to do that. That was neat. I like getting gear like that. And it's funny because at work, I always refer to it as my money.
Yeah.
Because it's my department, right?
Yeah.
Listen, my money paid for this. And blah, blah, blah. And here's what's getting ready to happen. This is my money.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time whenever they like, they leave the heat on overnight. That's my pay coming out of those vents. You right? You get me? Anyhow, yeah. So no, I got that. And that was really cool. But what that reminded me of is, so my buddy Lucas, because I was doing that stupid, zip megabytes or megabits, that mm-hmm. voice. Mm-hmm. He came over, he and Aaron, the lighting wonder girl, came over to help me with some stuff for video, right, at the church. Yeah. Two of the best technicians I've ever, for patrons, it's the Lucas from Sound Advice with Lucas Sellers, the episode of That's Metal I did. He's an amazing engineer. But anyway, they came over and we got to talking and I forgot that he used to work for a car dealer and he would always go through the cars when they would get them to make sure like there weren't any CDs in them. And he said it was anytime you had a CD in the CD player, it was always something like Insane Clown Posse or some other crap, right? He's got this CD and he gave it to me a long time ago. We've forgotten about it. And it's some guy named Big Briggs and Waylon Finale, F-A-N-A-L-E.
Nice.
Not F-I-N-A-L-E, Fanale.
Fanale.
And what they, it's 4 songs and it's called Songs for the Heartland. Nice. And it's done as a gag apparently, but they took like some sort of like generic country music backing tracks and wrote songs over them. And we got to talking about that. So I had to go out and find the CD and sure enough, there it still was in my console. It was on a CDR.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You found this CDR and its deck and put it in. And the very first song is called Red, White, and Blue. Are you with me so far?
I'm with you.
And they're singing about, and a guy flings like this. And then it gets to this part where it goes redneck, blue collar, white skin. It's like the most racist hillbilly crap ever.
Did they ever say white is right in there somewhere at some point?
No. And I mean, they were ultimately making fun of hillbillies. There's another one called... Love Story at Denny's.
Oh, nice.
And it's very good. The problem is the singing is terrible, but the rhymes, man. The jokes are really good and their commitment to the bit is great. But if anybody is listening to this and you have ever heard of Big Briggs and Waylon Finale, it's Waylon, like whaling, yeah. But with G gone and apostrophe in its place. If you know who these people are, I need you to reach out to me.
I'm dying to know more about crickets on that one, buddy. Major crickets.
Know more about their process. Very interesting because they're not from here.
Yeah.
The car came from who knows where, you know?
So I mean, they're probably not quite the same production value, but is it so you're saying it feels kind of like a Weird Al kind of thing?
Well, here's the thing. The reason I know that they've just used some generic backing tracks is because there's one song where the editing is not good. Like it just jerks and cuts to a thing and but it's really something special. It feels like, you know, like with the glamour shots, but they'd have the things where you could go and sing the songs. I feel like it was done to some like royalty free music that you could use for aspiring songwriters to come up with lyrics to. I feel like it's one of those deals, but it is.
I actually, speaking of royalty-free music, I was surprised at how much of there is out there of royalty-free music where they just don't, like, you know, DMCA-free shit. They just don't care. They're like, like there's a lot of places for streamers to go for that kind of thing. And they like will say, you know, it'd be cool if you mentioned somewhere in your title or something, or in, like in your description that like you got your music from here, but like it's fine if you don't, you know,
right.
You know what I mean? Like it's like to put that so like boldly in there, like, hey man, like we get it. Like sometimes you forget, sometimes doesn't, you know, they don't really care to do such things. We understand. But the fact that people are like, no, I just am making this music anyways, and I'm not selling it anywhere, so I'm just going to put it out here. If you want to use it, great. I think that's interesting. It's kind of an interesting tactic. It's like almost as if they, because there's really no way they make money from it, like at all. Like if you look at like, unless there's some kind of extra package or something that you could purchase if you want to, but there's none of that with this. So I don't quite get it. I mean, they even have it on streaming services. So like,
yeah. Well, a lot of times what will happen with that is they'll, like the streaming service will pay them some.
I guess so, yeah.
You know what I mean? So like we, at work, we use a royalty cleared publishing house that they pay these artists X number, or the art, it's like a, what's the word I'm looking for here? Consignment sort of deal. And so you can buy, it's just like stock photography. You can buy exclusive rights to something.
Yeah.
You can buy a print edition, blah, blah, blah. By the way, this was Songs of the Heartland, and was I saying Big Briggs? That's what I said, right? Briggs, yeah. Big Briggs and Waylon Finale. I got to know. Okay, so anyway, while we're talking about royalty-free stuff, why don't we talk about Star Wars? And
oh, yeah, you can do whatever you want with that.
Yeah, they don't care. No, they're good.
Yeah.
So in the craziest turn of events, you know, we've got, what's that thing called coming up? Season three of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Right.
March 1st.
Yeah. Coming right around the corner.
Yeah. Just in time to skip us right by for our.
Yep. Nailed it. We're not changing the day we make this show. I don't give a dang. Anyhow, the reason I bring this up is there was a sneak peek thing.
On a Wednesday, of course.
Yeah, there's this, listen, that's just how it goes, man.
It just cracks me up.
It was a clip from The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Right. And you get to see Grogu sitting in a chair, an office chair, spinning himself around. Of course, he's, you know, stubby. So he's using the force to push himself off this table. And it's exactly what a kid would do.
Yes.
I mean, exactly. Cause it's what my kids do. Spin around. It's very cute. It's cute as crap. So good job on that. But it turns out in an interview with, and I've never heard of this outlet right here. And I had it open a second ago and now I've lost it again. But by the way, big thanks to Bespin Bulletin for having all this in here so I don't have to go search it up. BFM TV Inside, where he talked about the third season of The Mandalorian. But then during that, he says he's already written the fourth season. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. He was saying that like he had to, in order to have the full picture, like, you know, in his mind, like with how they were shooting season three and stuff, like, so it sounds like he had that written up a long time ago. So he's like, you know, like he's actually pre-planning things, which just seems like something that was lost at some point along the way. But yeah, no, that's interesting. And then they also, I didn't read it because it's one of those things where a lot of people were upset with how the reuniting with Grogu happened on Boba Fett, right? Mm-hmm. And besides taking from the Boba Fett story, you know, people didn't watch it, but they watched Mandalorian, which I find hard to believe. People who were watching Mandalorian weren't watching Boba Fett. I imagine there'd have to be some kind of intersection there, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, I'm sure, but yeah. I would say it's probably a lot lower percentage than you would think, because people would watch one episode of it and be like, hey, that guy's helmet's cool, but where's the little kid?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like happened with Rogue One. They're like, okay, where's that Force girl we saw in the last one? You know?
Yeah.
But I just, people are kind of upset about how that happened. Like, well, if people didn't watch Boba Fett, they wouldn't know that the Mandalorian and Grogu were back together. So like, what are you doing? And like, they were talking about that. And I didn't quite get into it because I do know how it happened. And I do know all that story. And I don't really, I'm really kind of over the dissenting takes. You know what I mean? Like, and kind of the way I viewed it is like that kind of knowledge doesn't really matter to me anymore. Like, why they validated what they did as far as like the story and why they decided to have him come back here and things like that. Like, the truth is, if we're going to be honest, without reading the article, the truth is because they wanted to make sure that people watch Boba Fett. So they had the Mandalorian come in at some point because that was the hotness. You know what I mean? And they didn't want, and they wanted to give people like a chance to see him again because they knew it was going to be a while before they got to. So like maybe that's not the exact reason, but it's what it feels like to me. It's like, hey, I know you're gonna get to wait a while for season 3 of Mandalorian. So here's a little bit of Din Djarin throw back in the mix. Hope you enjoy it. But in one way, I could see how it's kind of strange that they had him come back in together and Boba Fett and have Luke Skywalker and all that stuff. But like, at the same time, that is the story to me. So like, reading about the reasons why it happened don't impact me as much anymore. And I don't really want to feel a negative feeling towards it. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, I understand why people wouldn't know. Why they would have an investment in it. Like, I really like The Mandalorian, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't like Book of Boba Fett. I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking about like a person, right? So I watched a couple episodes in and was like, meh, it's not really my thing. And so you get emotionally invested in this story of The Mandalorian, and suddenly this major development happens in the show that's like the cliffhanger of the season finale.
Yeah.
It's the cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then at the beginning of the first episode of the next season, he's back.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah,
for sure. What?
How?
Yeah. What?
Go and back to episode 5 of The Boba Fett Show.
Yeah. And that's just, and that's weird. I find it quite curious. But regardless, what ifs?
Yeah, no, I definitely understand why people be upset. Like, I get it. Like, you know what I mean? But like, at the same time, like, it is the story for me. So I'm just not mad about it. You know?
But what I think is cool is one of the things that Favreau talks about is, you know, with Filoni doing Ahsoka and then even with Skeleton Crew, like all this stuff happening in the same time period or within a certain frame of time that they're like, it really needs to be cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's wild. What a wild take for Star Wars. Wild thought. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm glad to know it's already written. I'm glad to know that they're working on it. And speaking of Bespin Bulletin, we mentioned that. Go check that site out. It's really good. It's like one of my favorite. It's my immediate go-to for Star Wars stuff. That's where I go. I want to find out anything. Boom, I go there. Now, there's stuff like rumors and things like that. That's not really what we do here. I'm not super into it. But if you are, this is the place to go. Excellent formatting, excellent layout, just excellent writing overall. Very good.
Yeah.
Top shelf.
And consider donating to them while you're there, just because they do a lot of great work.
Yes, please. Please, please.
And they also were talking about Ahsoka, I believe, being released in the fall. If it wasn't them, it was somebody else, but it was along those same lines of, you know, rumor people and talking about how like the Ahsoka was now slated to come out in the fall, which I personally always thought it was. I didn't imagine that it was going to be in the summer or anything like that, but it would have been nice, but I'm really excited for that show and see how that pans out.
Me too, man. I don't know what I legit hope will happen in it, but I am really excited for it. I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah. I'm excited to see Sabine in live action.
Yeah.
You know? Me too. You know, and I'm guessing we might get some of that in this season of Mandalorian, but I'm not so sure. But you got to think if there's Mandalorians going to battle on Mandalore, that maybe Sabine, who was the daughter of a major tribe leader or clan leader on Mandalore, that maybe she might be involved. But
well, you know, she had the Darksaber at one time.
True that.
Too. So, yeah, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen here? Not anymore. That's right.
Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah, that's exciting stuff, man. I'm looking forward to all that. That's sure, I would love to have a movie out, but, you know, there's movies out there that I, in theory, would want to go see, but nothing's pushed me to the theater.
Yeah.
You know, I went to see the Jurassic World Dominion because Henry wanted to see it. And the kids want to see it. And that's fine, man.
Yeah.
That was fine. But like the new Ant-Man movie came out. I haven't gone to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a couple of my friends tell me that they loved it.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of people crapping on it. I'm not sure what to make of that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's cool about not having a Star Wars movie is that I don't have to listen. Well, I don't have to listen to any of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that that discourse isn't out there for me to listen to.
Yeah.
Because there's no Star Wars movies. But I do miss them. But having content like this, man, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, but what about all those poor, like, hate YouTubers? You know what I mean? Like, how are they surviving these dry Star Wars movies times? You know what I mean? Like, how do they get to cry about the woke people? How do they and, you know, screaming angrily in their cars? Like, how does that, like, what, like think about them. They probably all quit their regular jobs because of all the sweet YouTube ad money they were getting. And now what? Like, now their kids won't get to go to that private school anymore because they fucked up and tied in.
Well, there be other fandoms they can go.
Oh, that's true.
Light themselves up about.
Didn't think about that.
But listen, while we're talking about Star Wars and kids and sending them off to private school, we had an episode of The Bad Batch, and
that's one hell of a private school.
yeah. It's pretty wild what's going on in that show. Like, they go from this crazy two-parter where you see Palpatine come in and like sort of set the world on its ear. And now there's all these things going on with these clones and all this. And then suddenly it's an episode where Sid has bought an Ipsia mine and she sends them there to go find whatever Ipsium is left over. And it's this super volatile substance naturally. And they don't want Omega to get hurt. So they tell her to stay outside with Wrecker, who's supposed to be watching the ship and watching over them. Until they're like, oh, crap, this is up high up there. And we need somebody tiny. Omega, come back in here.
We don't care if you get hurt anymore.
Yeah, suddenly we're over it. We need this. And that's essentially the story until their ship gets stolen by somebody whose back of their head looks suspiciously like Hondo.
Yeah.
But small.
Mm-hmm. Small Hondo.
Yeah. Smondo. I don't know. I mean, he would be older than that then, but did you get the vibe that was like a similar species?
Hard to say because they had their face covered, right? But maybe like something along those lines. You know, I'm sure Sal Perales could just pull it out of his head. Oh, no, that's this character right here. Like, oh. I'm glad you know on the back of a head. I have no idea. But
he's yelling it at us right now. We're going to find a comment on Spotify that says all caps droid Gotra
on Spotify.
Yep. That's where it was, man.
Yeah. That's funny. He, we love us some Sal Perales on this show. He's always a good sport about those kind of things. Whenever we say that he's going to say this, he always says something. It's funny. But speaking of Droid Gotra, did you hear? What'd you think of that part? Whenever Hawes, when he realized he said it right after he came after you. Did you see that?
What did he say?
he goes, well, look at me pronouncing something right. Yeah. Take that, Eric Strother.
Yeah, I heard that. I thought maybe he put something in print that I need to have my attorneys have a look at. Oh, God.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But it's, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I feel like it could be from that kind of people. But I also wonder if it's just, you know, somebody just trying to survive. Like, oh, look, here's a ship. That's pretty cool. It's good on me. Here's a ship. But the whole thing about, I find it interesting about that episode, and I think what most people do, is Tech having to come to terms with his, I wouldn't say lack of emotion, but lack of understanding of other people's emotions, you know, which is hard, which if we're honest, it's hard for a lot of us to deal with other people's emotions and understand them because we can't ever truly know what someone else is thinking, you know, but it was an interesting way he handled it because he never like apologized. He never, because Echo, right? His name. Yeah. Echo had just left. And she was, and Omega was distraught about it. And he was like, well, he's going on a mission. He'll be back. Like just chill out. And then they lost their ship, which became like a home for her. She had like, you know, Wrecker had like made that space for her and all that stuff. And like, there was a lot of emotion tied into being on that ship and leaving her home planet, which had basically been destroyed and everything else. And for Tech not to understand why it meant so much to her, that ship, and tied in with you know, with the other guy leaving and everything else, it was interesting to see how he handled it. He didn't just like go about it the way like whenever you upset your children and you go and like say, hey man, look, I'm sorry, I shouldn't behave that way, that's not how I want to be, that's not the kind of person I want to be. He just basically went about the way he normally does, but he showed that he cared by putting more faith in her, mm-hmm. you know, like on the spot, you know, like, of course I believe that you're capable of doing this. You know, when she goes, what, do you not trust me? He didn't say, yeah, I trust you. He just said in his own very Tech way, like, of course you can do this. And well, I found it interesting and compelling in a way.
I did like how he said, just because I don't have the same outward reaction as you doesn't mean that I don't have these feelings, that I don't feel like this. And that's cool to me. That sort of thing speaks to me. And
yeah, I imagine so. Because you, like, it's not that you're an uncaring person or you're hard or anything, but sometimes you don't give the empathetic, like the super like, oh my God, that's so great. Like, you know, like reaction people want sometimes, you know what I mean? But you will calmly address it. Like, I think that's cool. And then whatever else, I'm like, oh, it's just cool. Yeah, not the worst thing I've ever seen.
That's a high compliment for me. It wasn't the worst thing really I've ever heard. You know, hey, real quick, I do want to mention, you know, with Hawes saying the thing about him pronouncing Droid Gotra right and take that, Eric Strahler's. I feel bad that that's like where our relationship has gotten, which that's fine. You know, it is. But I don't want to point fingers at him or pick on him. But you know, the one thing he didn't pronounce right after that was, hey, I was on the Bad Motivators last week. You should go listen to it. He mispronounced that and it sounded like this. Can you hear the difference? I realize it's subtle, but it's
very subtle.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, Hawsey. I love him.
He's a good man. He was, I was watching his stream the other day and he was talking about how he wasn't feeling good. Like he got strep throat. And I told him, I said, well, if you would stop throwing that crazy swinger parties you throw over your house, maybe those big orgies, maybe you wouldn't be getting sick like this. And he was like, that's not what's going on over here. I'm like, we all know that's exactly what's going on over there. And quit lying to us. He was putting on this whole parade about how he did that. He's not that kind of person. I'm like, whatever, dude. We all know what's happening. So
speaking of Hawes, the outpouring of people who have asked about kicking in for this saber build I'm doing for Hawes, I really appreciate it.
Nice.
By the way, it's coming along nicely. Some stuff that I ordered to build it has gotten hung up at customs, I'm pretty sure, because it was coming from overseas, from the UK. It's not like, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they have to go through all this stuff. So we'll see. I'm ready. I'm ready to have it. So
ready to build it up. Ready really to get his soldering iron out and get it done.
Change out an HDMI port while I'm there. but yeah. So I'm digging the Bad Batch. My son is into it.
Is he?
My wife, she's like, oh, that's cool. You know, Stella's whatevs.
Whatevs, dude.
Yeah. I thought she might like it just because of Omega, but.
No.
Yeah. I don't think Omega spends enough time on her iPad playing Roblox for Stella to stay interested.
Yeah. Is Stella still playing Roblox?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if she made a switch completely to Fortnite or what, or if she still found time for Roblox.
We don't get to play Fortnite as much as I would like, considering the amount of money I've spent on that Xbox. And, but yeah, we play it some, but she plays Fortnite Roblox with her friends.
Yeah.
And that's like a still real common thing for them. So that's cool, man. To each their own.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But.
So yeah, I actually have liked the past couple episodes of the Bad Batch better, even though I didn't finish the second episode completely for our last episode, right? But I went back and watched it before I watched this most recent one. And that whole point, whenever Emperor Palpatine comes up through the freaking floor, like, here I am. Thanks for doing exactly what I wanted you to do.
Yeah, dance, puppets, dance.
Yeah, here comes the Imperial Stormtroopers. And you've just proven that we can't trust these clone troopers who just, without question, bombarded their homeland. It's like, wow. Wow, dude. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's what a rat.
That's what he's known for.
Yeah.
The rat in the grass.
So, yeah, it's wild to me, though, that you had this crazy two-parter and then the very next episode has nothing to do with it. Yeah. But, I mean, I guess that's, kind of par for the course. It'll loop back around. There's, I think, 7 more episodes, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the last two are double also.
Oh.
On this, I think.
The last two episodes are a double episode, or the last four are two different double
episodes? No, the last two episodes will be shown on the same day.
Okay.
That's what I mean. Sweet. So, but what do I know? But, well, listen, since we're always 1 week late on everything, we like to keep that tradition up by me not watching the most recent episode of The Last of Us yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it came out yesterday, came out last night. But like I said, I had to go back to work last night and I didn't get to watch it today because I'm not going to watch it with my kids.
Yeah.
But we can talk about episode 5.
Sweet.
And I have Amanda watching the show now.
Yeah. And is she caught up to you?
Yes. I watched episode 5 by myself and it really made me feel dark and sad, and like I had a hot, wet blanket thrown over me.
Yeah.
I felt like this sense of dread. It was horrific. The way it ended, the way just that whole end scene played out. And so then I'm sitting here working, and Amanda was sitting in this chair right next to me watching it. And I texted Arash at one point because we were talking about something, and I said, oh, Amanda's watching episode five of The Last of Us. Said, I feel real bad for how she's going to feel here in a little bit. Yeah. And dude, I mean, listen, full spoilers, obviously, by this point, everybody's expecting us to talk about last night's episode, but
they'd be wrong.
Yeah. That whole end with Sam and Henry, dude, it just hurts so much to see this little man who
same age as our boys.
Yeah. Well, here's one thing, man, that you think about. So there, for everybody that doesn't know, this little kid, he's, like 8 years old, somewhere in there. His older brother, who's an adult, they've been on the run from this militia, essentially, and they've done all these years of fighting and hiding and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Sam's the little one, he gets bitten by one of the infected during this battle, and nobody knows until later. He shows Ellie and he asks her, when you turn into a monster, is it still you inside?
Oh God.
Yeah.
Crushed my soul.
And she cut her hand open and put her blood on his wound, hoping that it would save him. And she said she would stay up with him all night.
Mm-hmm.
And she fell asleep. And when she woke up, he was just sitting up on the edge of the bed, looking out the window, humming. And she's like, hey, I'm sorry, I fell asleep. And then whenever she sees him, he's turned.
Yeah.
And he like goes mental and attacks her. And all of this stuff happens. But to just rip the Band-Aid off, his brother ends up shooting him and killing him. And then has to deal with what he's done. Doesn't know. It looks like he's going to kill Joel. Who knows what's going to happen? Then he kills himself. He shoots himself in the head right in front of Joel and Ellie. So this young girl has just seen this little boy get shot to death right off of her. and then, you know, see his brother kill himself right in front of her.
Yeah.
Brutal. It was horrific. And so what you start to think about is the fact that all of their struggles ended up mattering zero.
Yep.
All of the years they fought and hid and what he went through trying to save his brother from leukemia and all these things didn't matter. Yep. None of it mattered. And of course, all the Kansas City got overrun. And so all of their struggles never mattered. None of it. They're all dead. Everyone yeah. dead.
Yeah, that was that was the wild part, right? Was the complete unraveling of everything from one encounter. Like like one moment where they all had just left each other alone and just let and gone their separate ways. All of this stuff had, like it was almost like a allegory maybe for learning to let things go. You know what I mean? Like it's almost like the result of your vengeance is often way worse than what it would have been if you had just, you know, accepted what is and moved on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was hard. And like, you know, I did a reaction like a almost like a clip video about it where, you know, I didn't watch it the whole thing bit by bit, you know, but there were certain pieces. And you know, of course there was many moments during that end part with when all of the infected, you know, exploded out of the ground and we got to see the bloater for the first time and all that stuff. And, you know, there was, and whenever they killed the leader, the little tiny girl clicker, the young girl clicker had killed the leader of the group when others were escaping. And then they all turn like, oh, hey, look, there's all these people over here we can infect now. That's pretty cool. In Kansas City right behind us. I was like, yeah, there goes your city. There goes everything because you brought the entire army you had made out to get your vengeance on four people. You didn't need to bring everybody at all. And now you lost everything. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, and then through that to struggle, everybody else lost except for Joel and Ellie. And by the way, the Bella, is it Bella Ramsey? Is that her name, the actress that plays Ellie? It's something like that. Bella something. She has been mesmerizing me in a lot of ways. It's very subtle, like acting nod she does, but her reaction to Henry shooting himself in the head, like because you don't see him actually shoot himself in the head, right? Thank God, right? You don't actually see it. And like you don't actually see the bullet going through his brother when he shoots him either, but you see the aftermath, right? Her reaction to that, her actual acting of that moment felt like somebody much older than her, like a you know, like amount of acting time it takes to have such a real reaction like that. It was like you felt it in your soul. Like it was very, because I mean, like she had just witnessed this little boy who she cared about and was trying to save, and then her brother. Like it was, and then she had to be the one to bring Joel back around in the end, because he. Because if you watch the director stuff afterwards, whenever he's talking about when all Joel can see when he's burying those boys is that this is what's going to happen to him and Ellie. That's all he can see, and he's terrified, and so he starts thinking about that. Starts thinking, you know, probably about his daughter and, you know, all that other stuff, and then looks at her, and she's the one that says, "Come on, we've got to keep going, and you know, save who you can." Which is what Tess would say too. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's all very like deep emotional stuff that you don't expect to come out of a zombie flick, you know?
Yeah. It's really something. And one thing that occurred to me, and I went back to look and see, is when, so Sam, the young boy, he was deaf and he carried around one of those old school, like little stylus,
yeah, I couldn't remember they were called either.
Carbon sheet thing behind there. It's got the plastic. You write on it and you lift it up and it that's what erases it.
Yeah.
Just as a notepad for people to use it. And at the end, she puts it down on where they've buried him and it says, "I'm sorry."
Yeah.
And I looked at that and I was pretty sure it was her handwriting. But in my head, I'm like, what if it was his? What if he wrote that during the night
Yeah, when he felt himself turning or
something. When he knew it was happening and said, I'm sorry. And because one of the things that I thought about afterward is what did that little man have to do to restrain himself mm-hmm. from, you know, letting it overtake him and going and killing everybody in their sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. But it really is hard to take. It's yeah. This is a very difficult thing to live through. Like as the from a viewer's perspective of imagining if this were all real, it is really tough. Really
yeah, and tough. And I've often posited that thing as well. Like, how do you react to the world when that's what you were born in? You know what I mean? Because right. because to us, we're like Joel. Like we know what this world's like. We know it's positives, it's negatives, you know. But then all of a sudden, when all the society is gone, you know, how we would react compared to somebody who was born in it and then didn't know anything else. You know, but like there's, it's not really this is something that gets said in the next episode. It's just like Ellie goes, ah, what you're going to do with your life. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. just that thought of being able to plan your future. like that's what I mean. Like it's that kind of thing. Like there is no planning for our future. Our future is just to survive this world. That's, there is no job you're going to get. There is no thing you're going to do. It's just live or don't live. That's your mm-hmm. only option. And it makes you wonder how these people would actually be compared to the ones who were in the before times. And it's interesting sometimes to view, to see the little kids and stuff that are in this world. And they're probably like, I wonder if they're ever mad. Like, you really like reproduced and had me in this place. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. Cause we, you know, once there's no hope, there's no point.
Yeah.
That's always been my thing. The absence of hope is literally the final straw. Once there is none left.
Yeah.
There's no hope, then you have nothing left. There is no point.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's because when certain things end up happening, certain tragedies, suicide and whatnot, that's always where hope ended.
Mm-hmm.
And in a situation like this, how do you hang on to that?
Yeah.
At what scenario do you see where there's ever any kind of normalcy to life? You know, Bill and Frank in the show managed to build a life together and live it out together on their own terms. And just, you know, nature did what nature does versus the rest of the country, the rest of the world, seemingly mm-hmm. nothing will ever be the same. And what's the point? Why do we keep going on? Because that's what humans do.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking about like what Agent Smith had to say about humans in the Matrix. And you're like, you might not be wrong, you know, but anyhow, there it is. It's always
interesting when the bad guys make interesting points, right?
Yeah. But you know, anyhow. So yeah, The Last of Us, I'm really digging it. I need to watch the most recent episode. I was going to try to do it today, but you know, my kids were off school and I wanted to hang out with them. So.
For sure.
Anyway, so yeah, what else is there happening right now? You didn't see Ant-Man, correct?
No. Bad on me, I guess.
Do you think you will go see it?
No. I mean, like I said, the only reason why I would go see that movie in the theater is if Max came up to me and was like, hey, I want to see that new Ant-Man, but he's never been interested in Ant-Man. So right. It's kind of, you know... If it was a new Thor movie or something, he would want to go see that. He likes Thor. Maybe even a Spider-Man, but it's hard to know how he actually feels about some of these things, right? Like if they made a Fortnite movie, he'd be there like first day, like, Dad, we got to go see this movie. Like this is all that matters in my life. Or like somehow made a Minecraft movie. He's what he'd want to see and he'd watch it all the time. They made a TV show. He watched that quite a bit and then quit watching it because it got kind of like he started watching when he was like five or something. There was like a part in it that made him like scared about something and, you know, and then he like didn't go back and watch it ever again. But, but he just had like this whole deal and But he watches movies when they show up on Disney Plus or something like that. Like he watched, like I still haven't seen Wakanda Forever, but he's seen it. I didn't watch it. I was doing something else or I wasn't there or something. And, but he watches all those movies. There's just no mega fan in him. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that obsession over characters.
So we really like Ant-Man, Amanda and I, but we're not going to go see it in the theater.
Yeah.
Unless just like the stars aligned and one day we had nothing going on. And it's like, you know what we should do? Blah. But, you know, we'll watch it when it's out for home viewing. And I feel that way about most movies.
Yeah, I always feel weird because I understand a lot of parents, you know, I'm not saying you do this, but like, and you probably do to some extent. But like, you know, I tried to get him into Star Wars when he was younger a little bit, like not excessively, but like I watched the movies and whatever, and I showed him the TV shows and he was into that. But it's not something that stayed with him to where he wants to keep going. And I don't really want to impose it on him. You know what I mean? I don't want to impose my taste so much on him anymore. You know, like I want him to find his own way. But I feel like a lot of people have a harder time letting that part go because they're afraid of losing their connection with their kids, and I understand that. But I found it much better when we connect about something naturally, you know. Like say Fortnite, for instance, we talk about that a lot. Like that's one thing that we could talk about together that he enjoys, and he enjoys finding out about stuff, but there's other things too that we mutually enjoy together, but it wasn't anything that I put in front of them, you know?
Right.
And I don't know if that's bad or good or whatever, but he's getting to an age where I don't want to make him necessarily think the way I do, you know?
Right. No, I understand what you're saying.
But I feel like there's a lot of people who kind of like really, really drive it home. Like, hey, this is what we watch here. Like, especially when it comes to like sports and things, like people really like dig in. You will be this fan of this thing or whatever. And that's so weird to me. It really is.
Yeah, it's not cool. It's unhealthy.
It is. But it happens all the time.
the trick is to meet your kids where they're at. What you want is for your kid to be an individual. You want them to figure themselves out. Because one of the biggest problems that we face as adults, and I realize here we go, this is getting deep, but this is something I think about a lot. One of the biggest things we face as adults is understanding who we really are as people.
Yeah.
As an individual, who am I really? And until you do figure that out and understand it, you make these series of mistakes along the way that are typically pretty self-destructive and maybe in varying degrees of self-destruction, but that's what ends up happening to people. And when you rob somebody of their ability to naturally figure out who they are by telling them who they're going to be, it sets them back in their journey. Now, I get there's nothing wrong with pushing kids to excel.
Yeah.
Within limits. But you are going to get a lot further if you push them to excel in things that they embrace themselves.
Yes.
And that's just a much more harmonious way of interacting with the universe, right? How many of us are in jobs we hate? Why would you wish that upon somebody when they have the ability and the chance to not be stuck like that? And that's just kind of an extension of the same thing. And like with Star Wars, I'm glad that my son's into it.
Yeah,
I think he was into it because I've had Star Wars around and he's just naturally been attracted to it. But it's the nature of a kid to be interested in the stuff their parents are interested in and then rebel against it.
Yep.
That's just the nature of young people. And it's just a matter of meeting them where they're at. And that's like when, you know, the perfect transition into the video game power hour. I don't know why I call it that. We don't spend an hour talking about it.
No.
It's just funny.
Yeah.
Is that like with Stella, we bonded over Fortnite. Now we're not playing nearly as much as we were, mostly because we're like two ships passing in the night kind of thing. I get home from work and it's finishing up homework and getting ready for dinner, and then that's done and it's like, well, gotta take a shower and do this and do that. But when we do play it, we have a lot of fun. And in a natural segue to it, right now, the most recent update to Fortnite has really reignited my enjoyment of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that the addition of the weapons and the mechanics of the thing, like the heat and all of that, has been really cool. And there are some cool weapons in there. I do want to say, I still get annoyed when you take a weapon like the Deku Smash, and it, to me, I get why people like it. And yes, there you can try to run from it if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not particularly effective if the person that's got it knows how to use it.
Yeah.
And if they've got you stuck in a spot where you can't run away.
Or in a building.
Yeah. And that's what happened to me today. I was doing singles and I came in second against somebody with a Deku Smash. And we were in the Russian prison where I was like stuck against this wall and there was nowhere for me to go. And I was shooting at him like mad. And I would suspect that they were probably clinging on to barely to life. But to me, a weapon like that is, I was so mad. I was going, you know what? That is a punk ass bitch move to rely on that to finish a game when you just take all the skill away. But yeah, what do you think of the new update?
I tend to like it. I feel like they upgraded. I feel like they made the DMR a little more, reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think they tweaked it just a little bit so that the shot's a little bit more inaccurate when you shoot on the lead as much as you used to. Like literally before we shoot the DMR, it felt like you'd have to shoot in the hope that the bullet somehow curved towards them or something. It was fucking weird.
Yeah.
But what I don't like is they've added that hand cannon, which I don't like very much. Because it keeps making me think it's one of the regular blue pistols.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, blue pistol. Fuck, it's a hand cannon. No. Yeah. The silenced handgun's pretty good, though. I don't mind that guy. But or like even the dual-wielding ones are pretty good, too. But that hand cannon, it's like every, like, I don't know. I know you don't play these games, but, like, in every Call of Duty, there's a Desert Eagle, right? Like a 50 cal handgun. And which is, you can very easily call a hand cannon. That's what it is. I don't know how you could ever shoot one of those things, but whatever. And it always feels wildly inaccurate just because of the nature of shooting a high power round out of a small device. And so I've never been a big fan of them. And that's exactly what it felt like when I was shooting it in Fortnite. I'm like, I'm aiming at you and it's not hitting you. This is frustrating.
And it's slow as can be.
It's only 9 rounds in a magazine. And it's just not fun. But I have liked a lot of the changes they made to the augments. I felt some of them are really good now.
Mm-hmm.
I like that you get more weapons out of the augments sometimes because they come out sometimes they come around at really like good times, you know what I mean? And especially when you get that exotic handgun all of a sudden out of nowhere, that's a really good one to get.
Yeah, but that's not terrible.
Yeah, I do like the heist mechanic they added in there because that gives points of interest for people to go to that can make the situation's like more interesting. Like Max and I managed to do one of those so far where we got a key card from the boss and got into the thing and
the vault. Yeah.
Yeah. And got into the vault and didn't get immediately murdered when we went in there. We died almost immediately when we left though. So that was pretty cool, but at least we opened it, you know, because we got that XP for it. But, it's been a lot more fun. I'm glad that they didn't leave both of those power-ups anymore, you know, and the hammers are less, like they're still around, but they're not as prominent as they were. So it feels more equalized, but there is a couple weapons that are weird. Like that SMG that shoots like explosive rounds. It's like almost like it's shooting grenades at you. It's weird, but like, I don't know about that one. It's weird.
I had somebody shooting one of those at me and they said they were sorry. Not long after that. Because, they're wild. We had some good rounds today. Stella and I finished in second a couple times, in third a couple times. But you know, when we did get killed, it was by people who were like level 240.
Yeah.
But dude, that Silence tactical pistol, I really enjoyed that thing. So in the round I played today in solo that I got second, that was my gun of choice. I had a really good loadout, but I just used it. It was purple. And I would just go in and it's accurate. There's like no recoil at all. And it's just headshot, headshot, headshot. Yeah. And I mean, I would get in on top of people and kill them to death. It was pretty fun.
Yes. I've gotten so used to using handguns that I'm much more likely to pick both of the handgun specific augments when they come up, like the ones that extend the magazine or make you reload faster. I always choose those when they come up now.
Yeah. But, so yeah, if you haven't tried Fortnite, give it a go. It's a lot of fun and you don't have to spend money on it. It's not a pay to win kind of thing. It's at all. It's a
pay to look fly is what it is.
Yeah. You could spend no money and do just as well as anybody else. Now, the one thing I would recommend is you pick one emote that will annoy people. And then when you kill them and you see that they're still spectating, you do it for at least a second or two.
Yeah.
For me, it's Gangnam Style. It's like, oh yeah, that or Savage. It's one of those two.
Max and I have a whole routine we do before every game now. We start off with the hug one, right? Where you go up and then you hug each other. And then we go to one of the double ones he has, which is like where you pass like the invisible ball back between each other. You know what I mean? And then we go and like master puppets for a second. And then we count down like 3, 2, 1 with like 10 seconds left. And we both go into Gangnam Style.
So on Gangnam Style, man, I've gotten really good at, because you know, they're cyclical.
Yeah.
The dance moves are, they repeat.
Yeah.
Throughout the thing. So Stella will start it and I'll wait until it comes through the first loop and time it perfectly. And what's cool about Fortnite, as long as you're really close, it will lock you together. And so we're doing the exact same moves at the exact same time. She gets done sooner than me because I waited one round in, but we're both in perfect lockstep doing the Gangnam Style dance. And people are like, oh, I wish you were dead.
Yeah.
Or like, and a lot of times we will be soon. So you get your way.
You get your way.
Yeah. So what else have you been playing, man? I have obviously in these last 2 weeks, I have not had the time to game the way I want to. I mean, believe it or not, I've had a couple days where in Red Dead, I went in and got like 3 daily challenges done just to keep my streak alive.
Yeah.
And that was it. I played Xbox for 15 minutes today. But what about you?
Well, I've only played about probably 5 hours of it so far, but I've been playing the Hogwarts Legacy game that came out recently.
Man, I hear that's really good.
It really is. I didn't know what I was expecting. Like the previews for it and stuff all looked really good, but I was afraid it might be like too kiddie or something. And it's really not. like there's definitely the high school element to it. You can't help it, but like your character comes in as a fifth year, which only happened like twice before, right? So like you're not exactly coming in as a 11-year-old, you know. So, but it's very interesting because you actually go through some of the processes of going to school. You like you get sorted and like you have all those things, and there's all these little missions you can do. I can equate the gameplay or like the combat style to Elden Ring in one way, not that they're the same kind of style, but that they both take a while to get used to them if you've not used to playing that way.
Mm-hmm.
And fighting with a wand is a lot different than running around with shooting a gun. Like there are certain spells that are, you know, similar to like using the gun, like pop, 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 you know, like fast spells where you can actually hit somebody really fast. But then there's combinations you have to do. You can only have four at a time, and you have a whole menu you can access that freezes the thing, and you can choose one and bring it over and then do the whole thing. But it's about timing and about what to use against certain things. And it's very interesting. I've only gotten a little bit because I'm playing on hard, right? I don't know what compelled me to play it in hard mode, but I was like, I'm gonna play it in hard mode. And I was going around for a long time being like, I'm waiting for this to get hard. I don't really know what about this is hard. And then as soon as I got into this like school. I think it's called Cross Wands. It's where you it's like some underground fight club for kids with their wands. And as soon as you get there, I was like, what is going on here? And how do I keep failing repeatedly at this? Like, it was starting to feel very Elden Ring like, and like, you've died, you've died. But you failed. And then the ringleader of that club is just like probably like second or third year kid. He's got this guy's high pitched voice. He's like, you ready to fight again? Ready to go again? I'm like, shut the fuck up, you little kid. And like, I streamed both times I played it. And like, the second time I streamed it was during the day when nobody was here. And let's just say I got heated at the end. That like the last 30 minutes of that stream, I was just like, I was beside myself at why I couldn't figure out what to do properly. And then, once I figured it out, I was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. I was being my typical like over aggressive self when it comes to those fight situations. Cause you know how I play Fortnite. Like, I'm like, I'm in it. Like, I'm here. Yeah. We're going, we're fighting. Like, you're not running away from me. It's happening. This, you have to like be aware of all the other players in the situation. You have to like figure out which kind of combination breaks this person's protection, because different ones require different protection breakers. It's a whole deal. But I will say, you can tell they spent like 6 years working on it, because it's very well done. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of tiny little details in there. And overall, I would say if you were on the fence about it, you should try it out. Just from a game perspective, because there's very few good games out right now, and it's definitely one of them.
My only thing is like, I've got such a backlog of games that I want to play that I've bought and have never played.
Yeah. And yeah, same. Honestly.
That's hard. I don't know, man. I just wish I had more time to game. I wish I could be more efficient about it. The problem is, I still love playing Red Dead so much. I was thinking about that too. It's like, am I doing this out of a sense of obligation in a way, but it's also because I love it. I genuinely love it. I love the mechanic of it. I love the look of it. I love the world. And I like the way the game works.
Yeah.
So
I will say one disappointment about the game is that there's no Quidditch in it. And I feel like that's like a missed opportunity. I think that would be fun. Be able to like, Play a Quidditch match or something.
But I wonder if it's just too hard to make.
Maybe, because in order to make it a good one, like, you'd have to develop it separately as its own game. You know what I mean? Like, it'd have to be its own deal. Like, it'd be like making a big game like Red Dead, and then somehow making like put Madden in it as well. You know what I mean? It's a whole different set of. Right. Attributes you have to apply, make it a fun game to play, not just a mission, you know?
Right. Well, it's because it'd be like taking the aerial combat or space combat in Battlefront 2,
yeah,
and then coming out with Squadrons.
Yeah.
The difference in between the two of them is pretty great.
Yeah, for sure. But
of course, I played one of them and didn't play the other. So.
Well, at least didn't play a lot of the other one, we should say.
But yeah. Well, it does look cool. And I had a Metsy hit me up about it and asked if I was playing it. And here's the thing, though, too. For me, I'm not that much of a Harry Potter person. I still haven't seen all the movies. I own them all, but I never finished them.
I thought you'd read the books.
I've read all the books.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched all the movies. And so, like, some of the visual stuff, like, I visualized it differently because I read the book. Than what it looked like in the movie. I still think it's cool. I still think it's a cool world.
Yeah.
And I would like to check it out.
But, yeah, I would say it's definitely worth it. I mean, maybe get it on sale one day. Like, you know.
Yeah, that would be a definite must for me to pick it up right now. But,
yeah,
you know, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. You playing anything else?
No. Still hard stuck on some Brotato. I can't quite explain to you how good that fucking game is, but it's one of those things, man. and then, like, what's funny, though, is the first time you'd play it, you'd be like, this is such a nothing game, Luke. What are you talking about? And then all of a sudden, you're like wave 14. You're like, what the fuck? Why am I?
How did this happen?
What's happening here? Yeah, yeah. I play it almost more than anything. I've still been playing Rocket League and Call of Duty with my friends. Those are two games that I play with my like steady online gaming friends or those things. So like I don't always play the game the story game I'm currently playing because I'd rather hang out with them and, you know, have some adult interaction for the day. Uh-huh. So it's one of those, but I think what I'm going to do is stream the Hogwarts game like during the day whenever I don't have to be somewhere or do something like for like 3 hours or something at a time, because one, it allows me to actually like be semi entertaining on a stream without worrying about my children waking up, my wife banging on the floor like shut the fuck up,
right?
You know, yeah. Like it's one of those things. So yeah,
luckily for me, where my office is down here, all the bedrooms are that direction, you know.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for me, I have an air vent like right over here, so like it just carries
travels
right
up
that.
yeah but well, cool, man. I mean, yeah, I downloaded some Game Pass game of some MotoGP, I think. And it's gotten very mixed reviews. They're either 5 stars or 1 star.
Yeah.
And I thought about giving it a try just to see, because I used to be super into
it. I always forget you were in the Crotch Rockets, man. Yeah. I always forget about that.
Oh, yeah. That was my life.
Did you have a Hayabusa is what you had?
No, I had a Honda Ninja? CBR 900 RR.
Okay.
The year they came out, the 93. It's a beauty, man.
Is it Kawasaki that makes Ninjas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
Suzuki. That was always like the big deal back in the day. I remember having a Ninja.
Yeah, Suzuki was making at the like the tail end of what the GSXR 1000, whenever it was like the hottest thing for a while. I don't know what's cool now, but the CBR 900 RR was, it like set the world on its ear because it was the lightest production motorcycle that was a leader class bike. And it was crazy what it weighed and how it handled, and it was a beauty. I loved that bike, and it got stolen. And
I remember that story now. Yeah, that was a whole ordeal. I think you recounted it on here, or maybe on syphilis. Sad. Who knows? Maybe both.
Maybe both. Yeah. The girl I was with, we got engaged on that trip, and then the bike got stolen. And then fast forward to sometime later when she broke up with me on the phone on our 3-year anniversary. It was pretty great.
I'm on like, the anniversary.
Can I have
brutal.
A motorcycle back? But yeah, anyhow, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, man, that was the end of that. But well, hey guys, listen, I know we mentioned this. I mentioned this last week, but people have hit me up about donating to the cause for Hawes's lightsaber build. I really appreciate that. If you're interested, hit me up. You know the score. Be sure to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Lots of cool stuff going on over there. Check out TeePublic and Redbubble. Links are in the show description. Also, there are links to Cruiser's Twitch stream and mine. Mm-hmm. You can follow the show on Twitter @bad_motivator, should you so wish. Be sure to tell your friends about how great this show is. Leave us a 5-star review if you haven't. Don't leave us any review that's less than 5 stars, though, please. Yeah. And, yeah, man, there's nothing left to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The Bad Motivators.